Well, praise the Lord. I wondered why I was preaching this week. Now I know. Like, man, got to follow the kids and then follow y'all. This is rough. I'm not expecting a standing ovation when I'm done. It's okay. Man, praise the Lord. Wasn't that amazing? Isn't God good? That's right. Man, we're so blessed to have men and women with amazing talent. And my talent is go barefoot. That's all I got. But last night, I got asked a lot of times why I went barefoot, and a lot of people didn't know, and so I thought maybe I would just share it with you. One of the reasons is Exodus 3. You might remember back in Exodus chapter 3, Moses showed up on the scene. He was walking around with the sheep, and he was a shepherd, and all of the things that happened in Egypt had happened, and he is out, kind of banished out in the wilderness, and all of a sudden, he walks up this area that he'd walked to many times before, but this bush was on fire. God was there, and all of a sudden, he begins to approach it, and he says, Lord, here I am. And God says, wait, don't come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place in which you're standing is holy ground. And I know you felt that a second ago. You felt that idea of holy ground because you could feel God's presence as that note just rang out and the beautiful melodies were there. You felt like there's something greater here than just some guy's voices. The Spirit of God is here. And the direction of the praise is here. And that's what's so amazing about God is when God shows up, amazing things happen. And God was challenging me that everywhere that I walk, I want to be holy ground. Because I can tell you, this is going to be a really bad sermon if it's just me. But if God shows up, God can encounter us and he can teach us and he can teach our hearts places that words can't go. And so that's why I walk around. That's why I let you step on my feet when you give me a hug. Or that's why I step on hard things sometimes. But I got to tell you, one of the things, if you're going to be a barefoot person, you got to commit all the way. All right? Because, I mean, my feet can crush some sticker burrs. I mean, they're rough down there. All right? But you got to commit. See, if you're wishy-washy, if you're that lukewarm barefoot person, it doesn't go well for you. You got to go all the way. You got to be fully committed. And whatever the Lord's calling you to do, you got to be fully committed to it. And we're going to talk this morning about a guy named Zechariah who was committed to the Lord, but we're going to find out that in his heart there were some doubts. I don't know about any of you in this room whether you have doubts, whether you have some secret areas that maybe you've been kind of holding on to and hiding away. And on the outside, you look bright and shiny and you look beautiful like these kids did. But in the hearts, there's some things, some wounds that you haven't dealt with. And we're going to find out tonight or today, how Zechariah dealt with some of those things. So we're going to be in Luke chapter 1. And just so you know, Luke had a very pointed purpose when he wrote this book. In verse 4, he tells it very plainly, that you may be certain concerning the things which you have been taught. He wrote this book that if you have doubts, this book is for you. Theophilus, the guy that he's writing this to, here's the things you've been taught, and I want to prove it to you through God's word, through these stories. And it's amazing because the first story that he tells us about these two old, lovely people that have been living a great life. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah. And he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and the statutes of the Lord. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren and both were advanced in years. And Jonathan did a great job last week kind of explaining what that looked like to both of them being in these priestly homes that understood what it was like to go to the temple and what it was like to worship the Lord. Kind of like in our families, my kids don't know anything different than going to church. They've just grown up and they were, from the time they were born, soon as they were, it's like they feel like they were born in the church because they've never known anything different than showing up every time the doors are open. That was these two kids that got married and have lived this great life. And again, lived a life blameless, lived by the law. They weren't perfect, but they lived good lives. They were respected in the community. Yet, of course, Elizabeth was barren. She hadn't had a child. And that's about to change. Now, while he was serving as priest before God, when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and to burn incense. And so if you don't know much about the tabernacle was a large court area. And the outer courts was kind of, people could go in, they could worship. Lots of activities happened out there. Sacrifices happened. But then there was a holy place. a smaller area on the inside where you had the lampstand, the golden lampstand. You had the showbread and different things. And then you had the altar of incense, which represented the prayers to the Lord. And then if you went past the altar of incense, you ended up in the Holy of Holies, which is where the Ark of the Covenant was. And so you have this priest every time from the whatever family, whatever lineage was in order that week, they would go in morning and evening, and one priest would be chosen to burn incense before the Lord. And Zechariah was chosen at this point. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. So everyone is praying. Now, I was wondering what kind of prayer would Zechariah be bringing before the Lord? And back in Numbers chapter 6, as I was researching and reading commentaries, there's one of the prayers that they said the priest would pray. And here's what it says, verse 24 in Numbers chapter 6. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So perhaps Zechariah was praying this prayer. Lord, bless the people of Israel. Lord, bless us and keep us. Lord, make your face shine upon us. Be gracious to us. Lord, lift up our countenance before you. Give us peace. And perhaps Zechariah was praying this prayer in the temple. But I got to tell you something. If you're going to go into the holy place, if you're going to enter into prayer, if you're going to enter into church, you have to be careful because God might show up. I'm just warning you. If you go to a place where God is, God might show up. You need to be ready. This morning, God might show up. He did already show up. What if God teaches you something this morning that you don't want to hear? What if God teaches you something that's outside of our mental block? What if he takes us outside the city gates and makes us stretch ourselves? Are we ready to hear it? You see, Zechariah, he wasn't ready. Look what it says. Next, we go back into Luke chapter 1. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. God showed up. Now, I know a little bit about fear. I've had lots of fear in my life, but yesterday I had an experience with fear. And we were out working at night in Bethlehem and getting everything ready. And so we had to move some hay bales around. And so the first thing I did was I picked up a hay bale. Jonathan came over to help me because he's just a nice guy like that. And so I grabbed some hay bale and I'm carrying it out. And as I'm set it down, out of the hay bale comes a snake. All right. And you know me, I don't wear shoes. Boom, on my foot. I mean, the thing was huge. And I kicked it up. I grabbed. No, it was like tiny. It was like, I mean, it was like grass snake, like this big. But I heard the word snake, and I jumped like a little girl. I'm like, whoa, yeah. And Jonathan's like, hey, and he's running after it, right? I mean, I'm like Satan behind me. If I resist, he's going to flee. I'm running, right? This guy must be confident in his faith. He's just grabbing it. You know the worst part of the snake story? I lost my help. Jonathan grabs it, scaring little kids everywhere. Oh, look, yeah. He just walks off, and I'm just grabbing the next hay bale, a little more gentle than that one, right? When something shows up unexpected, what's your initial response? Mine was fear, like, whoo, I'm out of here. Hay bales are good right there. I'm running. Luckily, it was just little. I got over my fears, little tiny fear. But man, what happens when an angel shows up? Almost every time, fear not. God shows up in amazing form, and there's this fear that happens. Zechariah is afraid, yet Gabriel comforts him. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. What prayer? Peace is coming to you. The Lord is going to shine down his grace, shine his face upon you. For your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord. And he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. See, the angel's talking about earlier in Numbers chapter 6, the Nazarite vow that John was going to follow, about avoiding being set apart, being a Jesus freak, set apart from the common way and unmistakably marked as someone that was holy, set apart by the Lord. And this is what's happening. The Lord is blessing them, and he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord, their God. And he will go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, and to make ready for the Lord a people prepared. Can you imagine God saying, your son is going to go in the spirit of Elijah? Is there much better of a prophet in the Old Testament than Elijah? Cleansing of the prophets of Baal, fire coming from heaven, turning the nation back to him, controlling the rain. I mean, amazing stories, encountering God, showing God to the nation. Your son is going to walk in those footsteps, expectations. That's the footsteps that he's going to follow in. Look what he says, and he's going to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children. He's going to turn the disobedient to the wisdom of the just. Those that are disobedient are going to find truth in his words. They're going to find baptism, forgiveness. They're going to find joy to make ready for the Lord, a people prepared. Question, are you ready to walk like John the Baptist? Are you ready to prepare the way for the Lord? You see, what happens, unfortunately, to us is that we come and we get excited about the Lord, but yet when we go home, our preparations are off. It's like me taking multivitamins and then eating East Buffet Chinese food every day. I'm going to die, all right? Buffets are going to kill me. They're trying right now, right? If I take two vitamins and just live my life like I want to do, it's not effective. You've got to be committed. Are you preparing the way for Jesus in your workplaces, with your family in the Christmas season? Are you at home with your children preparing the way for the Lord to work? You see, if the Lord doesn't work, what is our house built on? If the Lord doesn't work, how are my kids going to grow up to love him? Not by following my example, because my example at times can be terrible. Because I'm a sinner. I mess up. But yet, if I am trying to prepare the way for the Lord to move in my kid's life, then God can come in and make a difference. Are we preparing the way for the Lord in our homes? And then we see Zechariah's heart here, right? Then Zechariah said to the angel, how shall I know this? For I'm an old man and my wife is advanced in years. By the way, men, don't ever use this to describe your wife's age. Okay, just that's free. How will I know this? Zechariah responds to the angel of the Lord before him with doubt. Now remember, this is the same Zechariah and Elizabeth that were living blameless and living great lives, and yet inside, hidden in his heart, were some doubts. You know, I wonder how many times Zechariah had held his wife as she cried, because they had a miscarriage or because they were barren and couldn't get pregnant. How many times has Zechariah begged the Lord so they could switch places? How many times has Zechariah just cried out, Lord, please let these people stop talking. Stop giving those looks to my wife. And instead of giving those things to the Lord and walking in freedom, how many did he hold on to? Because we see here that when the angel of the Lord comes to him and speaks truth to him, he doubts. He says, how am I going to know? If she gets pregnant, you're going to know, right? How am I going to know? Okay, prove it to me. And what does Gabriel say? I love Gabriel's response. And the angel answered him, I am Gabriel. Do you remember? You came in here by yourself. I am here. How do you know these things? I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. What more do you need to see to believe? What more do you need to see to believe than the glory of the Lord in these kids singing? Than the glory of music notes that just hang in the air? What more do you need to see? Would you really believe if you saw the Red Sea open up? Oh yeah, I would. Would you really believe if the plagues came down and you saw them? Would you really believe then? You have enough evidence. Romans 1 says, it's been made plain to them so that men are without excuse. Look at the stars in the heaven. Look at your bodies that when you cut them, they heal. Look at these things around you. What more proof do you need that God is real? We don't need anything else, but yet we doubt. He says, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and bring you this good news. This is good news. That your son is going to prepare the way for the Messiah, the Savior of the world. This is the good news. And because of Zechariah's disbelief, and to be honest, because of our disbelief, God disciplines. Do we love the discipline of the Lord? We're going to see it in action right here. And behold, you will be silent, unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time. That's 9 months of tongue being tied, of not being able to communicate and talk the way that you have. And the people were waiting for Zechariah. Remember, the masses outside praying. And they were wondering at his delay in the temple. And when he came out, he was unable to speak to them. And they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple. And he kept making signs to them and remained mute. And when his time of service had ended, he went to his home. Here's one thing that the Lord was teaching me as I've been reading this passage. Your life speaks whether you can speak or not. Zechariah couldn't speak. He couldn't tell everybody who he met or what he said. But because of his encounter with God, the people knew. Because of your relationship with the Lord or because of your true belief system, people know. Guys, in the world, they can tell if we're a fake. When you react to someone in the workplace with love and grace or with hate and venom, they can tell who we believe in. You do not have to be able to speak. You can just walk down the hallways at school and people can tell if you know the Lord or not. They watch you. Guys, in a room this size, you understand how many people day to day interact with this church? How many people see you and see the way you treat them? The barista at Starbucks, do we treat them like Jesus? The people at work, do they know that you love Jesus because of the way that you walk? I mean, think about it. The people in this room and the influence that you have in our world for Jesus, are you preparing the way for the Lord to work? Or do we tend to live our life and hide and we live this mute life thinking that we don't make a difference? But guys, people watch us. For me, it was so vivid when I used to teach at Hayes High School. And I would walk down the hallways and I would wear the same clothes all the time and I'd wear Under Armour and I'd wear all these things and I would treat people differently. I can't tell you how many times I've counseled people outside my door right at the beginning of class. People in tears, people struggling. I can't tell you how many times I've gotten cussed out in class and the next day they come back in, I'm like, hey, Chris, how's it going? And they look at me weird like, I just cussed you out yesterday. I'm like, what's up? Good to see you. What good is it for me to carry a grudge against this kid that's going to be in my class for 180 more days? How many days do I want to get cussed out, right? What should I do? Show him grace, because guess what? I'm going to mess up during those classes as well. And I want them to show me grace. You see, people watch you. They begin to emulate you. And just as you imitate Christ, people will imitate you. What are you projecting to them? I pray that we're projecting Christ to them. Well, you know what happened when we went home? Jonathan made that very clear last week if you were here. So I'll skip on to verse 57 where he's actually going to be born. If you have questions about how he was born, talk to Jonathan afterwards. All right. Now the time came for Elizabeth to give birth and she bore a son. And her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown great mercy to her. And they rejoiced with her. And on the 8th day, they came to circumcise the child. And they would have called him Zechariah after his father. But his mother answered, no, he shall be called John. And they said to her, none of your relatives is named by this name. And they made signs to his father, inquiring to what he wanted him to be called. Now, can I stop for just a second? I wonder if he couldn't hear either. Have you ever wondered that about this story? Why did they make signs to him if they could have just asked him. I just thought that was an interesting little tidbit in the story here. But they make signs to his father, inquiring what they wanted him to be called. And he asked for a writing tablet, and he wrote, "His name is John." I wonder how many times in Zechariah's mind, after 9.5 months, that term, that name had rolled around. How many times had he thought about this promised son and wondered if he would ever get to speak the name? Wonder if he just this is my lot in life. I have disobeyed the Lord. I'm going to remain mute, deaf for the rest of my life. I'm not going to hear his cry. I'm not going to understand how to communicate with him. But yet he was faithful. And you're going to see here, he's been thinking about his son this entire time. And when they, and they all, let me start again. And they asked for a writing tablet, and they wrote his name John, was John. And they all wondered. And immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed, and he spoke, blessing God. You know, I was wondering, what would it have been like in my house if I couldn't talk for 9.5 months? I didn't get an amen from my wife. Thank you. What would it be like in my home? Would it be different if I couldn't speak in my home? I pray that it would. I pray that I'm the one that's speaking love into my kids, that I'm speaking of the Lord to them, that I'm teaching them from his word. Would it be different if you think it wouldn't be different? If you're thinking in your life, it would be better if I couldn't talk. Stop. Step up, men. Speak about the Lord in your home. I wonder if it would be different in my house if I couldn't speak. But man, we as men got to step up and we got to speak. Sorry, that was off topic. I just got excited. All right. And immediately his mouth was open and his tongue loose, and he spoke, blessing God. And fear came upon all of his neighbors. And all these things were talked about throughout the hill country of Judea. Isn't that amazing? Everyone was talking about this amazing thing that had happened. And all who heard them laid up in their hearts, saying, "What then will this child be? For the hand of the Lord was with him." And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, and I love this, how many times had Zechariah thought these words in his mind? How many times had he wanted to express these words about his son? "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel." How many of us, when we step out of the discipline of the Lord, we step out of those hard times, can say blessings to the Lord? Thank you, Lord, for the cancer that I was able to survive and the walk that I went through. Lord, thank you for this hard time when I have no money and I can't pay the bills because you had to show up and I could see you at work. Thank you, Lord, for the curses that this person gave me. Thank you, Lord, for the hate that they're giving me, because now I know where my security is found, because my security is found in the Lord. You see, we get all kinds of promises from the Lord, but we don't hold on to them. What about this one? Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Guys, if you could pray for one thing over my youth, pray that they will have the love of God in their heart secure. Because our world is searching for love. We find our security based upon what people think of us instead of what the Lord thinks of us. And he says, "I adopted you. I picked you. I wanted you to be my son. I want you to be my daughter. If you confess your sins to me, I'm faithful and just to forgive your sins." Why don't we grasp onto those things instead of grasping on to the hurtful words people say about us? Why? Because our hope is not found in the Lord. It's found in what people think of us, in our perception. Our hope's got to be found in the Lord. And then we walk out in the world as that example. Man, I see it all the time. I feel it all the time. That my hope is not always, my love is not always secure in the Lord. "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David." This horn of salvation, Jesus. "As he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets of old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham." I wonder how many times Zechariah had thought about Abraham and the promised child Isaac. Now remember, Abraham was really old. In fact, Hebrews 11 says he was as good as dead. Now that's old. okay? If I was to refer, yeah, I know her. She's as good as dead. That's old. Yeah, those people don't have kids, right? I wonder how many times he had thought about Abraham's promise, Abraham stepping out in faith, Abraham's son, the son of the promise, and here comes his son, John, son of the promise that was going to prepare the way, that the Lord would remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all of our days. That we might, some said it again, that we might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all of our days. If you had to circle something, circle that. That's our call, that we would live in holiness and righteousness without fear. And you, child, be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to give our feet into the way of peace. John's job was to go and prepare the way so that the light of the world could come, so that he that can give the forgiveness of sins could come. And that's our call. Are we willing to go out and prepare the way for the Lord? Are we willing to go out and show people the love and the forgiveness that God is calling them to? Are we willing to step out in faith? Let's pray. Jesus, we just come before you this morning, thankful for worship, thankful for this example of Zechariah, Lord. I pray that today, Lord, that any of us that hold doubts in our hearts, this about your reality, about your faithfulness, about your love, Lord, that we can lay those before you. That, Lord, we can put them at your feet and we can walk in trust, in faith, that we can walk in the reality of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Lord, so many of us have hidden areas of our life. Lord, help us to give those to you today. Lord, I thank you that you speak through us, whether we can speak or not, you speak through us. Lord, help us to be amplifying your grace and your love to the world around us. Help us to be examples to the world, preparing the way for you, Lord, to work in their life. Lord, I thank you for the blessing of this church. I thank you for the blessing of these people, and I pray that you'll help them to go out into the world as your ambassadors, to go out representing you. Thank you, Lord, for the way that you have blessed us, and it's in the beautiful name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.